How do you make a vocal guitar
I
solo?
mean, obviously, distortion's a really big part of it. You also got to think about, I guess, things a guitar really does, or someone playing guitar, like bending notes, other effects, delays, other sort of pedals. But a lot of the time, if you hear something that sounds like a distorted guitar vocal solo, it's just a bit of distortion, really. Maybe some bitching around.
Hi, AG. Thanks for doing this Q&A, and the Applegold stuff in general. It's been very fascinating to watch and participate in. My question for you is, when working with an artist, do you find it best to let them run absolutely free with all their own ideas? Or do you try to coach their creative process or try to get them to go in a certain creative direction that would suit the track best?
I think it's a good question, but also it comes with the assumption that there's a sort of artist versus producer relationship, and I think there's a bit of that, but it's really a two-way street. I mean, I'm very influenced by what the artist or vocalist wants to do. Sometimes I'm briefly the vocalist in a session, and they get very involved in production, and I think it's really about influencing each other and trying to get to know someone so you can be very open-minded and open to the sort of mutual collective influence.
Hi, AG. I was wondering if you had any tips for chopping up vocals. They've always been one of my favorite parts of your productions, and I was wondering if you could give me any insight into how you go about creating them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, chopped vocals, vocal chops, they're sort of one of my favorite elements in any track. And I think the main thing that's kept me going with chopped vocals is really to not get too tied down to one technique. You could sort of manually cut and paste them, you can sort of create gaps, you can load them into a sampler, to different samplers, you can sort of involve some automation in a way, so you can get something that sounds a bit chopped in one way, and then could be chopped in another way.
Hey AG, a lot of people say that acquiring perfect pitch is impossible. However, I was wondering, with your experience working with a lot of vocalists, do you know of anybody who was able to acquire perfect pitch versus being born with it?
I mean, all the people I know who have it, I think, were born with it, and it's only really a handful of people. And, there's other people who are extremely musical, very good relative pitch. And I think, that can be learned and sort of gained from just exposure to music, really. I mean, even in my own development, I think, I can remember a time when I wasn't so confident with chord changes and what was going on. And I learned a few theoretical things about it, but I think I really just gained the most from working on a computer and writing a lot of chords in MIDI and actually thinking about it and then listening to other music and seeing how that related and just actually being interested in engaging with things, I think gave me a lot. Even though it would be handy to have perfect pitch, I'm sort of, very content without it and almost happy to have sort of had to fight for my way in a little bit.
Where do you see PEC music in the future as a record label and artistically?
I don't try and plan the future in too much detail. I mean, in my mind, the way that PEC music keeps moving forward is to do with, not always just using the same tools and not necessarily, basing the label in a sort of sound world, but more of an attitude or an approach to PC music or personal computer music. So I'm always, finding different collaborators and artists who have their own voice within that sort of very broad category. And, I'm really drawn to things that are surprising, rather than, I guess, things that are just purely crafted around maybe the things that PC music is known for. And I think as long as me and the people around me, we all try and keep that attitude, I sort of enjoy the future being quite unpredictable in that sense.
Hi, AG. It seems many experimental musicians have turned their attention to the voice in recent years. I'm thinking of like Holly Herndon, Kanye West, One or Tricks Point Never, and of course yourself, just to name a few prominent examples. Why do you think that is? Thank you so much for Apple and the Guild and for taking this question.
I mean, yeah, I think it's been going since the beginning of electronic music, maybe music itself. I mean, we just hear the voice as human beings in a completely different way, and it always sort of dominates, you know, almost from an evolutionary perspective. But I'm a big fan of the early electronic music experiments going on at Bell Labs, you know, Max Matthews and other people. And, you know, that was essentially what a telecommunication company that was also inventing music software sort of accidentally, but because, you know, we're already starting to use our voice on telephones and other recordings in the sort of information age. And so, you know, the voice has always been paramount, and now we're even more exposed to it with you know, very obvious technology, even if we're not thinking about making music. So I think it's inevitable that you'd see it more in pop music as well as sort of alternative music, and more tools being developed specifically for that.
Hi, AG. I was wondering if you could explain why you chose to end 7G on the Extreme Vocals disc and the disc ordering in general. Thanks.
I mean, the order of the 7G tracks became very intuitive, and I was already starting to see them as quite individual projects, you know, having beginnings and endings, almost like mini EPs, while also sort of trying to think of their macro form. And I don't know, Extreme Vocals felt like it would just be delivering a lot of really coherent tracks, the kind of bangers that people might want
from me in general. So
that sort of felt right to say for the end.
Maybe the most important instrument and the
a category that I've sort of championed. So it's also
quite a nice note to end on.
Hey, AG, I wanted to ask about the recording process behind Airhead and the background of that track. It's such a high energy and complex song, and I'd love to hear about its origins.
Why so extreme?
Why so extreme?
Why so extreme? Why so
sometimes extreme? I wonder if it's really that extreme anyway. For me, it's just anything that pushes forward, is interesting, amusing, you know, using vocals for all they can be.
Hi, so my question relates to the term extreme vocals, and one way that you might interpret the term extreme in relation to vocals is in the extreme exposure we all have on a daily basis to speaking and hearing each other speak, and the emotional experiences we have with the voice as such a versatile instrument to carry emotion. So using that and linking it to when you're shaping the vocals to build the atmosphere of a track to be in line with sort of the intended world that you wish to construct, how do you combine vocal processing that takes the raw voice and turns it into something ethereal and beyond what we're all familiar with, but also maintain the humanity of that and convey the emotion so that it's accessible but heightened in a sense that takes it beyond our expectations and makes it more memorable and impactful to link to the overall experience of listening to the track? Thank you.
Wow, yeah, a lot to unpack in your question, but I agree with a lot of the observations that there's a sort of emotional quality and maybe an overexposure, and you know, the voice is a kind of way of transcending that or creating something kind of ethereal. I think that's why I'm always so interested in contrast, you know, the raw voice suddenly becoming something that isn't raw at all, or something that was never raw in the first place. I think it's that fluidity that then essentially makes things more emotional, because you're creating a sort of journey between your expectations and the sort of reality, and the voice very naturally draws attention to that.
Hello, AG Cook. One thing that I have found very exciting when following your career is the way that your music engages with current trends in pop music. I loved how early PC music stuff often felt like it amplified the inauthenticity and areferentiality of late 2000s and early 2010s pop music. I love that your new music plays with the tension between inauthenticity and authenticity that is more characteristic of the late 2010s. I imagine, though, that making this transition in your work must have taken a lot of time and effort.
I wondered if you could talk about the process of that transition, and whether or not you see yourself making the leap again if we see another comparable shift in pop culture in the future.
That's interesting. I mean, I see it in a very different way, even though I agree with the sort of general categorization of different eras of pop music. But I don't know if it took any time or effort. I don't really feel like I put conscious effort into transitioning the sound as much as just consuming things, thinking about things, finding myself evolve, and sort of acknowledging that, you know, pop music is a continuum, and you have the seeds for the late 2010 stuff and the early 2000s and so on and so on. It's just, you know, even going back to the 80s and the 60s, 70s, you know, it's just a continuous narrative. I think I just not like to be hung up on a specific era, therefore hopefully challenge myself to exist in a contemporary world.
Hello again from downtown. It's me, your boy. Anyway, I was trying to... I'm first time caller, long time listener. Anyway, yeah. How do you do that thing where you get... You have a vocal cut and you have the guitar cut, and they just sort of meld in like a perfect, there's that Hannah Diamond shit. It's, I love that sound. I love that style. How do you do it?
You know, in all the early PC music tracks, let's say like Pink and Blue, that kind of era, we were working with really bad equipment. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was always more into editing something than engineering something correctly, you know, so there might be traffic sounds or things going on in between Hannah's takes, and I just really enjoy forensically editing it to sound clean and to kind of work with the track and sort of do whatever was necessary to get it as slick as possible, even though in retrospect it still was kind of DIY. And, you know, as I've evolved over the last, you know, 7 years, right, I just found more and more ways to do those things, but that ethos hasn't really escaped me. I'm still quite fast and loose with engineering and recording and things like that, and really interested in different ways to process things together, for the vocals to slot into the instrumental, or to just edit the instrumental around the vocal entirely, you know, and not worry about those problems in a traditional way. And then, you know, gradually over the last few years working with a mixer, Jeff Swan, on quite a lot of stuff. I mean, I mixed 7G myself and a few other things, but then I mixed Apple with him already at his place, working very closely together, and then he's mixed all the Charlie stuff and, you know, a lot of things. So then with Jeff, we'll kind of explore a whole bunch of other ways, and he has his own tricks to do with vocal line and things like that. So it's been a sort of challenge for me that I've still enjoyed being a challenge, but then I just, you know, had so many different options and so many different experiences, generally being pragmatic about what to use for it.
Hey AG, I was just wondering what makes you revisit old songs or sample them, like in Idol or Dostoevsky. Is it because they're written too well to only use once, or is it for the cultural inertia behind them? On top of that, how many times has IDL been reused so far? Thanks.
I mean, I've lost count, and I just really enjoy referencing different music because I feel like all music does that, and our listening experience is just super
referential. Hi, AG. Do you use a mic for your vocals?
That's actually a really good question. I mean, because there's lots of ways of making vocals out of mic, Vocaloid. I also think that sometimes certain synth sounds sound like
vocals. Hey, AG, huge fan. Could we know who did the extreme vocals for the iconic legendary Snow Globe? Thank you.
That was our friend Kristen, who also sang on Doodle.
With regards to vocals, what emotions, themes, motifs do you associate with a
high-pitched voice,
and which do you associate with a low-pitched voice?
I mean, I want to do more stuff with low-pitched voices in a way, because, I don't know, maybe high-pitched voices.
Hello, we are not available now.
Please leave your name and phone number after the beep. We will return your call.
Hey, AG. Just wanted to ask how the rollout's been affected by the pandemic. Would the 7G and Apple events have happened the same, or did you have any other ideas in mind initially? Call me back when you have the time.
I mean, we would have done a few IRL things, but in my mind, Apple is always going to have a lot of virtual elements, online elements. I don't love touring. I love being in the studio. I think, you know, there's so many interesting things that can be done virtually. Obviously, COVID and lockdown sort of gave us all a bit more confidence to try things out like that for necessity. But I always felt, I mean, that's sort of why we kind of kept most of the release dates intact, even though COVID and lockdown were happening, because it was sort of reflective of what Apple was.